Recording in a secret location deep in the heart of the Smeelosphere, in a world where everyone rocks a stash like Harold. You're listening to C4 on CanucksHockeyBlog.com, the podcast that wishes it had abs like Chris Higgins.
Welcome to episode number 27 of the C4 podcast on Canucks Hockey Blog. I am one of the two regular co-hosts. I am Clay Emo at Canuck Clay on Twitter. And I'm going to tell you who I'm joined with in a second, but I'll tell you who I'm not joined with. And that would be Chris Golden at Lightforce, who is away gallivanting in Las Vegas, I believe, for Thanksgiving weekend. And our producer extraordinaire, Matt Lee at MattLee980. He is gallivanting a little farther overseas in the land of the rising sun, my half-homeland, Japan. But I'm thrilled to be with one of my good buddies, a fashion extraordinaire, guy with a nice haircut, almost like me. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi there, Clay. I'm Pat Johnson. I was on a couple weeks ago. I was with Matt in preseason. We were talking prospects. I know. I've been here before.
I know. I missed that, but this is my first time where I get to
be with
you.
It's exciting.
Yes. So we got rid of the Chris, the one part of the C4. We got rid of the Matt, but it's me and you today for about half an hour.
So let's just cover quickly. I mean, I think both of us know. We both have both those guys on Facebook and on Twitter. And
yep.
Chris is in Vegas.
He is.
And seems to be having a not optimal time at Tropicana, shall we say.
Oh, you did actually drop the hotel name.
Oh, well, hey, you got to bring it up. You know, if you're having a bad time, that's how this game works.
So
right?
what's been going on with Chris?
I don't know. Apparently, the room that they booked wasn't there, the room, and they put him in the wrong one, and they've been moved to a different room, and that room wasn't completely clean. And, and the water bottle. Did you see his pictures of the water bottles?
No, but I'm afraid to now.
They had, you know, the complimentary water that, you know, you get in Vegas, I guess. And one of them, it was hilarious. One of them was kind of, you know how there's always a little bit of space, like a little bit of air?
Yeah, of course. You need that. Otherwise, when you open it, it's going to.
Right. Well, one of them didn't have that. It was filled right to the brim. So Chris is like, what's going on here? So anyway, I'm sure hopefully he's figured it out and had a lovely time. I know I love giving you guys a hard time, but Matt Lee, on the other hand,
yes.
Japan. What a guy.
Have you been to Japan, Pat?
No, I haven't. I'm for a long time, it was kind of like, oh, everybody goes there.
Yeah.
I was feeling kind of hipster about it, but no, I just want to go. It sounds like a really cool place.
Well, you know what? Last time I was there, only time I was there was 1989, part of one of those high school exchange programs.
Okay.
Stayed in Tokyo, Kyoto, and Wakayama, and in Wakayama, believe it or not, I was actually filmed by a news crew playing the piano. Maybe a prelude to my Canucks songs.
Oh, amazing.
What do you think?
You know what? They say talent emerges early, so what can we say?
Well, speaking of talent...
Like cup stacking and things like that, right?
Yes, well, we'll have a blogging competition of speed stacking. Pat, where can people... We'll talk about this later. Where can people find you on Twitter,
At Rising Action, of course, and sometimes I'm actually running the Province Sports account, but, you know, everybody's already following the Province Sports account, so no need for that.
There you go. So we're thrilled to have Pat Johnson with me at Rising Action, and yes, reporter and web guy for...
Web guy. Vancouver, yeah, not technically a reporter.
Okay, awesome.
I do get to write sometimes.
So Chris has had a bad start in Las Vegas, but someone who hasn't had a bad start or team that hasn't had a bad start.
Segue.
You like that?
This. I've been good.
Working on that all morning. Vancouver Canucks 2-0. Can we start planning the parade route, PJ?
The parade route gets planned every year, doesn't it?
It does. I think it starts in Robson. I don't know where it ends up, but it goes somewhere.
Richmond. Doesn't it end up in Richmond? Stop at Richmond Center. They'll take the SkyTrain, then they'll hop on a bus. I know you can't really. Can you take the bus to Surrey from Richmond Center?
It's not ideal.
Anyway, no, you know what? Hey, you know what? It's exciting. It's so funny. I was looking at some of the comments that we get online, and it's always so interesting to see because, of course, you know, big, exciting start. The fans want something to believe in.
Yes.
We've seen two fun games. Let's say that much.
Yep.
It was interesting. I was talking to Harrison Mooney, actually, who is in the building but was not unable to join us today.
So wait a sec. If he had joined us, we'd have to find another table, another mic. But
well, that's the easy part.
Okay.
It's dealing with his enormous ego. That's the hard part.
This room is quite tiny.
But as Harrison pointed out, he said, you know what? I think people forget that we are actually all excited about Torts in the first half of the season. And he wasn't trying to pour cold water on anything. He was just trying to say, hey, listen, I think we forget last year. It wasn't entirely awful. It was just the end that was so awful. And the outcome and the results of the style of play that the coach brought in, that Torts brought in. And that, to me, is the thing I've keyed on the most. Okay. Yeah, there have been some defensive breakdowns, and I think it's important to identify that there have been defensive breakdowns. But it's also important to recognize that the Sedins are dishing. Redeem Verbata, at least through two games. Okay, it's two games, as you've totally hinted at. You can't get too excited about two games. But through two games, that trio has looked fantastic.
But no, before we get into the actual players and how guys have looked, isn't it funny, though, Pat? I don't know what's happened to this market, or maybe it's like this wherever, or maybe it's because of Twitter. But no matter what happens after two games or 20 games, but two games, you're either going to have people that are saying, plan the parade route, and they're not being sarcastic.
Right.
Or you're going to find the people say, oh, it's just Calgary, it's just Edmonton. Wait till we have to play the beast team. So I can't find anyone that's in the middle that has got a good head on their shoulders and say, hey, it is what it is, two games, at least it's a start, good offense, poor defense, let's figure this out.
I think that's interesting because, you know, you look at some of the dark days. Like, you and I have been, you know, following Canucks for a long time. And you think about especially, I always go back to sort of 98, 99, right? The real bottom point of the Mike Keenan era that, you know, it wasn't so much just that Keenan was the coach. It was just that the team stank.
We had that bald guy playing for us,
that
right?
That bald guy, and just there was no depth. This was a team that, you know, had no idea what it was doing. You know, Alex McGillney was so frustrated. Like, the guy wasn't trying. Of course he wouldn't try. Why would you try for such a terrible team? So I think about how bad that was. And I also think about, 12, 13 years ago, even when the team was only just kind of rounding into form. Yeah, they had Bertuzzi. They had Naslin. They played some exciting hockey. They weren't a power yet. You know, looking at sort of 2000, 2001.
Sedins
kind of
just starting.
Sedins are like in their second season or first season, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could get tickets. I was at UBC. You could get tickets. Like student rush tickets for $20 a pop, right? It was insane. And now, I mean, you know, there are still like questions about how many sellouts are they really going to have despite what they announced. But nonetheless, people got so used to winning and success that I think they know what that looks like and they know when it doesn't look like that. And I think that's what we saw last year, as I said, to come back to what I was saying before, which was that, yeah, there was a great start and then a terrible finish. And people saw the poor quality of play. You know, the game stunk. The experience stunk. People go to a game. They want to have fun. They weren't having fun. So at least through two games, they're having fun. And I think that, as you said, maybe, you know, I think Twitter is a bit of a fishbowl, right?
Yeah, sort
of,
yeah.
As you said, you go one or the other, which in a way is kind of how it should be, because otherwise there's no discussion.
Right.
But I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they can kind of keep this rolling forward a little bit and at least have some fun, because that's what I think what people key on the most is that the team's going to make some exciting plays. They're going to have a chance to win. They may lose, but they're going to have a chance to win, which, you know, in terms of mentality, was not the Jordan Tortorella approach. So I think I think those people will emerge. I think the people that, as you said, they're kind of in the middle, just want to have some fun. Because if you look at actually go to a game, that's, I think, actually what most fans are like. I think we forget about that.
No, for sure. And you make such a good point, Pat, about these expectations. Because picture if we were living in a city where a team hasn't made the playoffs for many, many years. And you're right. The Canucks went on that streak mid-2000s all the way to the recent two, three years ago.
When does that end? What do you think that ends? When does that period end? Is it the President's Trophy, even though they in 2012 or 2013?
It's just funny. The expectations, though, whereas if we were in a city like Toronto or another city where we're constantly getting disappointed and you almost have no expectations and you want to get up, whereas we're at a place where we're up here and we're kind of falling a little bit and we're like, wow, we wish we were there where we were just 3 years ago. It's just funny what expectations do to you.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I always look at Leafs fans, right? Yep. Well, obviously, the Leafs fans we experience here are either transplants or people who cheer for the Leafs for some unknown reason because their dad or mom or whatever is there.
I think they need help.
They do need help. They all, anyway, but the boundless enthusiasm of Leafs fans, right? Even though their team has been terrible almost exclusively for the past decade, right?
Yeah.
And you think about, you go back even further, right? There was a column, Scott Stinson, who's one of the national columnists for Post Media now, wrote a column last week about the excitement of the Habs and the Leafs. But this is a rivalry that hadn't met in the playoffs since 1979. And a lot of it was because the Leafs were so bad in the 80s, especially.
Mm.
This is a team, though, that has this unbelievable fan base. It helps that they're in this enormous city, obviously. Like, what, fifth largest metropolitan area in North America or something like that.
All I know is they're number one in Canada. That's all I know. Yeah.
Biggest city in Canada, right?
Yeah.
But the boundless enthusiasm and the belief of Leafs fans, most of whom will never actually see a Leafs game live, is so incredible. Do you think those fans exist in the Lower Mainland?
If they do, Pat, I don't know where they are, or at least they're a very, very vocal minority, because you are so right. That's what being a fan is. Isn't it stand for fanatic?
Yes.
Where you cheer, win or lose. But for some reason, there's a cynicism or, you know, people are cynical or they just, it's almost like Twitter, at least in the Vancouver market, has become almost very sarcastic. If you put out a normal tweet and a normal thought, yeah, good job, Canucks. I actually think you're going to do well. You're going to get totally trolled.
You're an idiot. What are you talking about?
I won't name the guys, but there's certain people, yeah. Twitter handles, where you just know they're going to jump all over you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop me from doing anything, but it's just kind of funny where we've come to that point. But yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not sure if those fans are in Vancouver, or if they are, they're the ones making goofy music videos, and they're the ones who who are
just... Are you promoting yourself?
Never. Never, ever. Clay and self-promotion never go together.
Now, here's my question. Are you guys going to do your next video? Is it going to be Marie on skates?
Let's talk about that. I talked to Marie, and you know, I think she's a great athlete, but I'm just not sure if that's worth it. I don't have the production value to, unless she's skating around my little, you know, 40, my square foot little living room. Yeah, that was crazy. So here, this is the thing. I actually know Mark, not very well, but I know Mark.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
actually come to a couple of some rallies that I've run and for work and stuff. So he's a great guy. He's and you saw the self-deprecating humor, the Canadian. What'd you think when he came out with
I was laughing pretty hard.
You're actually laughing out loud.
I thought
right?
it was pretty funny.
Yeah. And we saw that at the 2010 Winter Olympics closing ceremony, right? When the clown came out and pretended to plug in the extension cord because one of the pillars.
Oh, that's right.
And that's the first.
About that.
So that's the first thing I thought of on a big stage.
Yeah.
We know how to make fun of ourselves. Now you've heard the conspiracy theory that he staged that fall.
That somebody suggested that to me last night, and I hadn't even thought about it. I mean, which is, you know, obviously it acts against my journalistic instincts because I'm supposed to be skeptical about everything. And you know, someone said that, and I said, maybe they're right. Because if you think about it, you watch the video. The thing that had most impressed me about the video is that he keeps singing. Like, he doesn't break stride in terms of his vocals.
Pace, tone, right? All good.
So, you know, is it possible? The only thing that wavers was when he was actually trying to get up and he kept getting his foot on the carpet.
That was unfortunate.
Right? Now, yeah, do you think... Is it possible, Clay? You're the most positive person I know, okay?
I'll take that as a compliment. Right? Thank you, yeah.
And I do hope that you do still have a healthy dose of skepticism, but you're not cynical about it. That's do you think Mark Donnelly, someone you know, staged his fall on the carpet in Penticton last week?
Without a shadow of a doubt, absolutely not. There's no way. There's no way. Even if you plan that, I don't think it could go that well, honestly. But, you know, I've heard his interviews, and he's been interviewed by multiple media sources. He said basically that carpet wasn't supposed to be there.
Okay.
Right? And that he was looking up. He looks at the crowd, and the next thing you know, he's doing a tumble right in front of everyone and going viral.
And just kept going. But that's what a pro. What a pro.
Have you ever tried to sing a national anthem for anything?
God, no. Well, I mean, like when I was in elementary school, you know, like beginning of like assembly or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. No, not on my own. Would I try? No, I wouldn't. I would not want to hurt anybody's ears. Do I sing in the shower? Yes.
Yeah. Well, you can see I'm trying to recruit and scout potential prospects.
You do not want me on a future video. Absolutely not. I could clap in the back maybe.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hold you to that. Really.
How come you never appeared in Big Old Goal, by the way?
Thank you for asking. I actually wanted to.
Because I was supposed to be in Big Old Goal, and then I had to go away.
And imagine if we were in it, not only would they get 80,000 hits.
Yes.
You got 80,003 at least.
Yes.
It would have been awesome.
my mom three times.
When they were filming in August, actually Harrison did reach out, and I actually offered a space where we could do it so they wouldn't be blistering hot, as you saw in the actual video when they were sweating and stuff. But it turns out by the time they set the filming date, I was away on vacation in Disney World with my family.
With your family?
Yeah, but
you put your family first?
I did, but not...
What a guy.
That's actually funny you say that, because that morning that it went out, I was watching it over and over and lamenting it because it was so good, but I wanted to be a part of it. And then basically Sean on Twitter and my wife Gail had to come to me and say, hey, don't be such a jerk and let's go to the park kind of thing. Because I was actually almost crying. I was saying, oh, I wish I was on this. How about you?
Well, I think I had a wedding. I think the timing was all wrong. I actually connected Harrison with my buddy James, who was the Knock on Wood Productions.
Awesome.
And it was James' studio space. James, by the way, is the guy with the shirt off and his hair blowing in the wind.
Yeah, I think I don't have to meet him.
No, you do. Okay. You really do. The guy is
it looked fun.
He's a force. He's fantastic. Anyway. Let's get back to hockey. I keep driving us off topic.
No, this is fun. So I went on to our Facebook and our Twitter, and I asked some of the Canucks hockey blog readers and viewers, just who's been the most surprising and impressive? I know it's only two games in. And who's been the most disappointing and unimpressive so far? Any guesses to who they're saying?
Lyndon Vey and Radim Vrbata.
Yep, we've got Vey, Vrbata, and of course the Sedin. So let's talk about each of those. Lyndon Vey, is he going to wind up as a center or as a wing on this team?
You know, well, that's one that I find interesting. It's first of all, let's rewind a little bit. It was so interesting hearing people arguing, you know, people love arguing about the rebuild or the reset or whatever it is. And the reality is that there's, what, seven new names in the lineup? I mean, they weren't all, you know, there's only Bo Horvat that's a new kind of up-and-coming draft pick.
Yeah.
But there are a bunch of new players. We talk about Vey, we talk about Vrbata, we talk about Spezza, you talk about Bonino, Dorsett. Am I missing anybody? I feel like I'm missing somebody.
Got Vrbata, Bonino, Vey. Yeah. Dorsett, Spezza, and Miller.
Miller, yeah. Right, there you go.
Don't forget him.
Yeah, six, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's, you know, in terms of your game day roster,
that's a third of
the roster. So, yeah. I mean, that this is a newer team. And the number of people, for instance, go, I don't know who's that? 13? Who's that? But
I'm just happy Vey switched from 44 to number 7.
Because I'm kind of sad. I've always loved 44.
Yeah, but now I can do something with my David Booth jersey.
Oh.
$40, new nameplate. But anyways.
Making it all about you again.
I digress.
Lyndon Vey, I am not surprised that he has done so well. I tried to be a bit skeptical when, you know, everyone was popping him up in the summer. I said, well, does everybody remember Zach Dalpe? Because that was a guy, you know, could score at every level and could show the skills. Now, of course, Zach Dalpe was acquired on waivers and, you know, was not ever going to be anything. I think it was kind of a long shot in the dark, wrong coach, etc. But I mean, he's out of the league. I mean, there's a reason why they're different players. Lyndon Vey, young guy, unbelievable skills. You hear, it was so interesting hearing the Sedins talk about what he's been able to do on the power play in terms of just how much of a mess he makes at the top of the slot.
He draws, he's a decoy. Not a decoy.
I mean, yeah. And I think that's something that the kids out there don't need to think about, you know. But contribution on a power play especially, but overall, doesn't just mean touching the puck. It means drawing defenders, drawing the attention of the goalie, giving people something to think about. And that's something that happens when you go to scoring areas and you're in a position to receive the puck and you're perceived as a danger. And I mean, he scored a goal because he goes to the right spots.
And it's no coincidence that the Sedins seem like they have more room and time to cycle.
Absolutely.
And we saw it all night last game in, you know, against Edmonton. They have so much room on that half boards there and beside the net because attention is being drawn to the other players on the ice.
Which brings us to the other guy, which is Radim Vrbata, who I am absolutely blown away at how well that has worked.
Yeah.
And I have no reason to think. I mean, Botch points it out. He said, yes, it's two games. Yes, it's two weak defenses. It's been really fun to watch. You know, it's going to be, it'll be interesting to see, but it's the right foot to start off on, that's for sure. So to see these guys doing as well as they are, even although it's only two games in, I'm not surprised at all. It's impressive. Was that the question? I've completely
lost track. No, let's keep on going with this because Radim, the thing I love about him, he doesn't care where he is in the offensive zone. Yeah. And he just lets it rip. Like, you watched that game yesterday.
Yeah.
They're going sometimes wide, sometimes high, sometimes on the net. But he just goes.
Yeah.
And for playing on a line with a guy like Henrik who wouldn't shoot to save his life, I think we need it.
I think, you know, it's interesting because I saw some guys making some cheesy comments about, you know, the old Corsi and shot quality and people saying, well, all shots matter. And the guys are like, well, if it's a shot from the corner, it doesn't matter. Well, the truth is that most of the shots don't come from the corner.
Yeah.
But shots in general count as a trend.
Yes.
The fact that Radim Vrbata will shoot from everywhere should be an example of why that is important because he puts so much mustard on those shots that it gives the goalie something to think about every time. And one of the strengths, for instance, of the Kings is their willingness to shoot from weird angles because it creates funny rebounds.
Very good.
It's something that's powered them to two Stanley Cups.
Yeah,
you know, it's
absolutely.
Like it's a skill that is important. It doesn't make sense that you should be shooting from the corner. And I don't think we've seen Vrbata shoot from the corner, but we have seen him shoot from the half wall.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's fun. At least it's fun to watch.
Yep. Absolutely.
I keep saying that.
No, it's good. And then you actually saw a lot of from those ref cams. Mm-hmm. What do you think of those helmet cams, by the
love
way?
Love the ref cam.
Isn't that cool?
Big fan.
I just love when you see his hand coming in the shot.
Everyone seems to, yeah. Well, because I think it reminds, you know what I think it reminds people of? It's like they're playing, you know, Doom or something, and they've lost their, Goldeneye,
yeah, when,
right?
Yeah,
you've lost your gun, and you can just slap. It's just the slap fight, you know? That's, I think, what people are imagining, because he's just pointing at the, I love the ref cam.
I'm going to start thinking about that. Okay, three guys, Pat, let's talk about that are not impressing people. And yes, our caveat for today, and I think we're going to title this podcast Two Games In, but really, let's talk about, and quickly, Yannick Hansen,
yeah,
Zach Kassian, and Luka Spiza. And we can throw Ryan Miller in there too if you want.
Well,
any of those guys, who do you want to talk about?
Just quickly on Miller. Yeah. The thing with Miller, really good goalie. Who's he replacing? Jacob Markstrom. Jacob Markstrom, massive question mark, right? Ryan Miller as a signing, if you just look at him for the season, no problem, right? He's going to be probably as good as Luongo, right?
Yep.
Two older goalies. They're not at the top of the game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. Now, signing him for 3 years, I don't know how we're going to feel about that 2 years from now.
Right.
But it is what it is. And so, you know, he's going to be fine. Goalies give up bad goals. It happens. People need to relax.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, yes, he should have stopped the fourth goal last night. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But it happens. That's why you play the game.
Yep.
And, you know, if he's giving up four goals a game, you know, a month from now, fine. But you know what? Luongo was never good in October.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Let's move along. Kassian, Hansen, and Spiza. You know what? I think we had doubts about him coming in. I think what is important for him right now is that he keep playing, because as much as it was a bizarrely awful season for Alex Edler last year, he kept playing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that this year he's been, I mean, yeah, he's made mistakes. He makes mistakes. That's the kind of defenseman he is.
Yeah.
But he's been a generally positive influence. The puck has been at the other end of the ice generally when Alex Edler's been on the ice, which is good because we know how terrifying he can be in his own end.
Yes.
Right? So you'd rather the puck being at the other end.
Not being racist here, but Chinese fire drill.
Oh, well, hey.
And not racist because I'm half Chinese, just so you guys
know. You're the most confusing man alive. No. But Spiza, the thing with Spiza, you know what? I think it's going to be interesting. Let's get the rotation reset. Let's get them, you know, good that Kevin Biax is back.
Yeah, you're right.
Spiza's got to get used to a new team, new setup. It's way too early to have any kind of judgments on him.
Yeah.
But I think we were right to enter the season with doubts because he struggled in Anaheim.
Sure, and frankly, I don't think that Corrado or Weber are in a place to unseat him right now. So he looks entrenched as our number six.
I mean, it is vastly different than what the team has been in recent years. That was something that Mike Gillis, on the whole, did actually quite well, which was that he realized you need as many high-quality NHL defensemen as possible.
Okay, yeah.
Keith Ballard, he wasn't what he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But Keith Ballard is your number six defenseman?
Yeah.
Like, come on. That's actually pretty solid.
Depth at D versus maybe not so much depth at forward, but we'll talk about
right.
Hansen another time.
So,
okay, Yannick Hansen.
Hansen and Kassian, in terms of Saturday night's game, need to be talked as a partnership. Because Hansen, I was not necessarily a fan of re-signing him because I do prefer risk in terms of teams, in terms of team selection. I understand why you want to keep him around because he's a known quantity. You know what he's going to bring, which is that as much as anything, it's important to have players that just aren't going to screw up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the original acquisition of Dale Weiss. Weiss is now gone, but at least, you know, you put him on the ice, he wasn't going to make mistakes, right?
Yeah.
That's why I really doubt we're going to see Tom Sestito very much this season.
Yeah.
Because Tom Sestito, you put him on the ice, well, he's not the greatest skater, and he's going to make some mistakes.
You better get used to wearing that suit that we saw him
right,
in last night.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
It's tough. You know, I think we all want to be pro every player and support every player, and that's true, but you want to win, you got to talk this way. Yannick Hansen, what does he do well? Forecheck. I mean, you think about, you know, recent years, there have been games or long stretches of games where he has been the best forechecker on the team.
Yep.
He's a guy that throws his body in the corner, forces turnovers. He can shoot a little bit. He can dish a little bit, right?
Yep.
You don't want him playing every shift with Sedin.
Right.
But you remember there were shifts where he would mesh really well, say on the second line with Ryan Kessler. We remember the combination of him and Higgins on the third line, often with Brad Richardson last year, which was a very useful line. So what do we need to see more from Hansen? We need to see more of him mucking and mixing it up in the corners.
Yeah.
You know, apparently after the game, that's basically what he said. That's what I need to be doing. That's when I'm playing my best. Well, wasn't it interesting that he was a guy that was completely invisible through two periods last night, barely played in the second period.
Yeah.
and all of a sudden there's a bit of a change, and who actually gets bumped down to the fourth line, although it basically ended up being two third lines.
Yeah.
Zach Cassian.
Yeah.
You get Cassian, you get Hansen, you get Sean Mathias. They had some of the best shifts on the team last
yeah.
night. Cassian, you know, he's just such a bizarre player.
Yeah.
So much skill, such a useful guy. We want to believe that he's a first line winger, but he's not ever going to be a first line winger. I think we just have to accept that. He's what, 24 now? He's a he's basically a finished product. Yeah. He's a big, strong player who has some good skills, can do well given the opportunity, but doesn't necessarily always earn the opportunity, which maybe is a bit of a paradox, but it is what it is. He's a guy that, you know what, if you're handing him 12, 13 minutes a night, that was something that Torts did talk about with him, is that he has an output problem. He can put out so much more than he generally has done in his career because he's been able to get away with it because he's a big guy. If he comes out every shift and is lightning like he was on some of his rushes last night, he's going to be a handful. And he, it's like the Vay thing. Opens up space for other guys. So the third period, great. We need more of that, though.
What's going to interest me about Cassian is you saw yesterday, you're right, Pat. He had a couple good rushes going down the wing. But he also had two or three really bad turnovers in the second period. And that's why basically Dorsett and him got swapped, right, for the third and fourth lines for the third period. So I'm curious as to how long or how short the coach's leash is going to be on Cassian. Because you're right. He's at 23, 24 now. Gone are the Cody Hodgson comparisons anymore. No, this is our guy. This is going to be our guy for a while. But who is the true Zach Cassian? And maybe you're right. Maybe he has, I don't know, whether it's topped out or leveled out. And maybe he's simply not a first line, maybe not even a second line guy. Maybe he's a third line guy.
Here's a question for you.
Sure.
Bo Horvat is still out injured.
He is.
He will supposedly be back sooner rather than later.
All right.
The plan was to keep him around.
Yep.
Give him some time in the NHL, which I think is totally the right choice because I just don't know how much he really will develop going back to the OHL, which, of course, is his only option right now.
Yeah.
Bo Horvat's healthy.
Yep.
Who's coming out of the lineup?
I made a bold prediction earlier in the summer, and I said it would be Yannick Hansen, actually.
Oh, really?
That we talk, you know, I don't know how with the contracts and stuff. I don't know if he's the best person to sit out. I think it's going to be him or Sean Mathias because Horvat as a center, and we talked about Lyndon Vay, center or wing, and you have Brad Richardson, who, as you know, can play there as well.
Yeah.
So with Horvat coming in, technically, you could have him as a third or fourth center or put him on the wing. But let's say he's in the center and Mathias or Vay is your other center. Excuse me, Richardson or Vay is the other center. I see then Mathias coming out. I see Yannick Hansen, one of those two guys coming out.
Mm.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't even, I you know, I, it dawned on me this morning. I don't even have an answer.
Yeah.
I think I really want to be a big fan of Brad Richardson. I really enjoyed what he did last year. There's lots of things he does really well. He's a good, good hockey player.
Yeah.
Right? But that's the thing. Most guys in that role are actually quite good hockey players.
Sure.
You know, they're not superstar scorers.
Yeah.
But they do so many things well. And,
and for him, it's the face-offs, isn't it?
Well, he's good on face-offs. Yeah. He's not. He never does something dumb in his own zone. You know what I mean? I tend to go with the oh man rule. You know, what is he doing now? You know, people you think that this is how you used to assess Bieksa. I've loved Bieksa since day one. I think he's a great player. I really enjoy it. He makes mistakes. He you know, he is what he is.
Yeah.
I think he's become a much better player than he used to be because how often you say, oh man, Bieksa, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You do say it.
Yeah.
But not as much as perhaps you did when he was a younger player.
Yeah, we say that about other guys now.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, people now maybe they've moved on to Edler, they moved on to Spezza.
Yeah.
You know? So I go with that on Richardson, but at the same time, Richardson's at his ceiling. Do you know what I mean? Like he's not this is the player that he's going to be. There's not going to be anything else.
Yeah.
So who would you rather have in the lineup? Would you like to see Bo Horvat in that role, see what he can do, take it to another level? That's the same argument maybe with Mathias, who just mentioned, right?
Yeah.
Similar kind of player. I like Mathias. I don't think we've seen him enough to really have a true sense of what he is.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But in terms of the role he's being used in, seems pretty clear that's what he is. He's, you know, in the end, a heart and soul guy. He does well. You're going to put him against, you know, lower the other team's lower lines. He's not going to have a hard time playing against the top lines.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not a top line player.
Okay, and put you on the spot then. So if Cicito's our number 14, Bo Horvat comes in, who becomes number 13? Pick one guy that comes out of the lineup. Pick one guy.
One guy?
Yeah.
Oh man, this is hard. I think it's gonna be somebody like Sean Mathias. I think you've nailed it. I think Richardson, at least. I mean, we still don't know anything about Willie Desjardins.
Yeah.
But when you talk about sort of perceived roles and perceived abilities of players, I think Sean Mathias is gonna come out just because they'll have this notion that Richardson is a better fourth line center than Mathias is, which is bizarre, but
yeah, no problem. So as we look at wrapping up, yeah. PJ, one last thing. Bit of a scheduling quirk here. The Canucks play
sucks
two games, and now they have basically 6 days, five nights, 6 days off, and mm-hmm. they play again not till next Friday against a team that they just played against. So not only do they have a six-day break, but they're playing back-to-back in yeah. those 6 days against Edmonton. What's up with that?
What is up with that?
Is there like something going on at Rogers Arena we don't know about this week or something? Or?
You know what? It's... The schedule is a bit of a mystery, I think, at all times.
Yep.
And all we know is there's at least there's some guy that has an enormous spreadsheet that he makes it all happen. You know what, Clay? It's very strange. You know, every once in a while, we'll have these weird breaks.
Yep.
I can't remember it ever being at the beginning of the season.
Not two games. When didn't they just start, like, on Friday then? Like, you know? Next week, yeah.
Yeah, so...
All right, so we're in Edmonton on Friday the 17th, home to Tampa Bay, Hockey Night in Canada, a great game on Saturday the 18th, and then away for Dallas, St. Louis, Colorado. Last question, PJ, which is the team that's going to give the Canucks their first loss of the season?
I think it's going to be the Tampa Bay Lightning.
So on Saturday?
I'm a huge, huge Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
Yeah.
What a collection of young players.
Yeah.
Really exciting. They're also the team that I have in the office pool, which would be you just literally draw a name out of the hat. So I'm cheering for them extra.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I'm just a big fan of theirs. I think we'll see Eddie Lack on Friday night in Edmonton.
Okay.
I think we'll probably see Ryan Miller at home against Tampa. The lineup. This is the lineup. I wouldn't be surprised maybe we see Sestito against Edmonton in mm-hmm. Edmonton. But. Mm-hmm. Somebody will have to come out of the lineup, I guess, for that to happen. Quick question for you before we go. I know we're trying to wrap up.
No problem.
Let's just talk quickly. Now, people were really upset this week because they're like, where's Shorty? And I'm like, these are national broadcasts. Don't get confused that every game's on Sportsnet.
Yeah.
There's still different categories, right? Last year, that opening night Wednesday night game would have been on TSN. Right?
Yeah.
So that would not have been a Shorthouse game. Last night, Saturday night,
Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah. Would have been Mark Lee, right? We would not have seen Shorthouse on that game.
Yep.
So... That, to me, was that I think people are still having their hard time getting their head around. Paul Romanuk. I'm a huge Paul Romanuk fan.
Ditto.
I know that some people aren't fans of his, but you're happy to have that guy back?
I thought it was fine. Yeah, I thought it was fine.
I really enjoy... I mean, the thing people... I never really personally had a huge problem with Mark Lee. Yeah. The thing about him, and I realize this in comparison with Romanuk, is that Romanuk, he's got a lot of European hockey knowledge.
Yes.
But there's a hockey knowledge. He's not just a setup man for Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson, who, by the way, I think is becoming one of the best hockey analysts out there. He's on the same level as Ray Ferraro, for instance.
Yeah.
But the two of them, they know what's going on. And it's not just, hey, here's a guy passing the puck. Mark Lee, you know, generalist. He can call any sport.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's doing so many things. He's not in the middle of hockey the way that a guy like Paul Romanuk is.
A great way of putting it. And I think with Romanuk's experience, I think people, once they give him time, they'll recognize how indeed knowledgeable he is.
He's different.
Yep. And I think he communicates well. He gets points across well. And I think he's already developed a good chemistry with Johnston in that they know when to come in and out. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of coming in, thank you very much, Patrick, for helping us out today. Where can people find you once again?
At Rising Action. Clay, where can they find you?
They can find me at Canuck Clay. And you can also find the C4 Canucks Hockey Blog podcast on iTunes, on our website at CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Follow at Canucks Hockey. And we have a brand new Facebook page for this particular podcast, C4 on CHB. We talked about self-promotion. There's no better way to send you guys out with our latest Boys to Men inspired ditty, I'll Show Glove to You. Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.